New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and this is a special edition of OnlyFans Q&A Live. We're in the dead, and I mean dead, of the offseason. So we have a little community of Panther fans and a few Oilers trolls in our other sports forum on OnlyFans. And we decided we were going to do a pregame show, okay? I think there's a big game in town tonight.
Oh, biggest game in the history of South Florida, maybe?
Yes, and we're going to get into that very, very quickly. That guy you hear is Scuba Pags. He's a guy who's been in our other sports forum since pretty much the beginning. Longtime only Finner. And I guess introduce yourself to the audience here, Scuba.
A longtime Holy Finner. I like that title. I was one of the A1s from day one. By the way, if you're not on OnlyFans and you're listening to this right now, like, get on it. Like, we've been doing this for years. It's such a great time. It's such a great community. If you're trying to avoid or get away from the toxicity that exists on Twitter or X or, you know, whatever Elon is calling it these days. OnlyFans is hands down a massive upgrade from all of that. Now, you know, there's no society as utopia. Nothing is perfect. We do have a few trolls, you know, every now and then, but I would say for the most part, the community polices it really well. So that's, you know, if that's what you're looking for, just a smarter, more clean, less noisy, less loud place to talk Dolphins, OnlyFans. I couldn't recommend it more. But yeah, like you said, I've been on since the beginning, known around the growing population of OnlyFans. I don't know how everyone else would put it, but I think I'm like the class clown of the group.
Yeah, and if you want to get on OnlyFans, you want to become a member, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right, let's get into this. This is, you kind of alluded to it. I think it is. Okay. It's the biggest game in South Florida sports history. The only ones that rival it, okay, no Super Bowl rivals it because Super Bowls are one-offs. Okay, you just show up, you're at the Super Bowl, hooray for my team, you either win or you lose. There's really no consequences because football is probably the only sport where there's like a total reset from season to season. There really is. Seasons really don't run together. The NBA, I'm going to go back to, I guess, 2012 for the Blueprint Game 6 in Boston. That was probably the biggest game, but it's not in the championship round. But yeah, I'm going to say that one was slightly bigger. And then, of course, the Game 7 that followed it at home against the Celtics was probably on the same footing. This one feels so much more consequential. You lose this for the end of time, until the end of time. You're going to be referred, even if you win, if the Panthers go on to lose tonight and they win the next 8 Stanley Cups, they're 8-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back champions. The next time somebody comes back from 3-0, they will say, do you remember the 2024 Florida Panthers? That's the last time it happened. So tonight is extremely consequential. Agree?
I would say so. One way or another, it's a night that we're going to remember around here for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, now it's either going to be a good memory or an awful nightmarish memory. But either way, like, this has already been stamped as, like, this is a day that will go down for generations of South Florida sports fans. You know, people are going to refer to it like, do you remember where you were that night? That night that the Panthers won the first Stanley Cup against the Edmonton Oilers in, you know, Game 7 at home after almost blowing a 3-0 lead. Or we're going to look back and say, hey, do you remember when the Panthers just completely choked away a Stanley Cup championship?
Yeah.
Had us all thinking that we had it at 3-0, and then just the avalanche of misery that followed after. So, you know, how it gets remembered, that's what's up for debate. But what's not is that this will go down as a night that will be talked about from generation to generation. And, like, I've got my nephews, you know, who are like, you know, 10, 6 years old, you know, just starting to watch and get into sports. And I feel like the Panthers have already broken them. Like, these long time suffering, you know, been watching them for about a year and a half. And they're walking around and they're telling me, Tio, they're going to lose tonight. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Tio, they've played awful in the past couple of games. That team is better. So, you know, it's heartbreaking that they are doing to me what the Miami Dolphins pretty much did to me growing up. But I guess that's all part of the experience. This one's going to live on for a long time.
Now, let's talk about how we got here. I think you could toss game four. Game four, that's essentially what a rigged game looks like. One team went in there and just laid down. They just laid down. Like, they got their first goal. They thought about it for a second, and then they just laid down once they gave up goal number three against the Oilers in game four. There was no competition. That wasn't competition. That was just a throwaway game. It happens all the time in these 3-0 series. It happened this year in the NBA Finals. The Celtics essentially just threw away game four, and they lost by a million to the Mavericks. Now, game five is a little bit different. They came out sleepwalking and find themselves down 3-0, and then they play about 28 minutes with their hair on fire. And those 28 minutes are good enough to win tonight. In fact, they were good enough to win in game six. You agree?
Yeah, actually, I was about to say, of the three losses, the one that stings me the most, most people might assume game six, obviously it's the most recent one. And it's, you know, it's the one that even the folks that weren't expecting a sweep. And I think that's a lot what happened with game four, is that I feel like I chalked that up to, that's an even out game. We've been dominating them for the first three games. That team is much better than what they've shown. And to me, game four was like, okay, yeah, it evens out because we're not that terrible. They're not that great. So game five, though, is the one where I thought not only did I believe that the comeback was going to happen, it just had that feel that I guess this Panthers team has already kind of like given us, you know, the nickname is Cardiac Cats. And you just felt like it was just going to be another Cardiac Cats comeback to win the cup. And it just felt so perfect. So to me, that one hurts the most. That's the first time that fear actually set in this series. It wasn't game four. I didn't care if it was a blowout. I'm like, that game was over, you know, way before the three periods were up. Game five, different story completely. And game six, to me, is not as bad because you're on the road. You know, got to keep that in mind. Game five was at home. Game six was on the road, traveling the largest distance in the history of the Stanley Cup final ever. So, you know, my expectations just weren't in the same place. But for me, game five was the one that started to break me.
And then you move on to game six. And these games seem to have run together. And hockey tends to do that. And it happens all the time. Okay. For those of you that don't watch the sport, I watch it all the time. I watch the playoffs religiously. In fact, I love basketball. I love the NBA. I don't watch a lot of other playoff games. I watch the Heat, and then I might watch, you know, a game that interests me, like, you know, namely a game that I put money on, okay? I bet that Pacers-Knicks series, so I watched a lot of that series. And I bet that Minnesota-Denver series, so I watched a lot of that series. But I don't watch a lot of the rest of it. In hockey, I'm watching them all because I just find it so compelling. Games tend to run together.
I mean, that's been like the dichotomy has been like just so plain for everyone to see. The NBA postseason this year, and, you know, I don't care. I'm not talking about the result. You know, I it's not a, you know, salty Boston thing. It was just they weren't good games if you were just objectively watching them. And in reverse or sort of, you know, mirror, the hockey postseason has been maybe the most exciting one that I've watched in a long time. And I've heard people who have watched it for even longer tell me the same thing. So it's just two completely different products this year.
Absolutely. I think it was game four of the Dallas-Edmonton series that I called the best hockey game I had seen in like 15 years. That game was something else. And these games tend to run together, meaning you could carry momentum from the end of one game into the other. And I promise you, we're going to get off of this and we're just going to look forward to tonight. But at the end of game five, the way the Panthers finished that game, I just had such a sense of confidence going into game six that the Panthers were going to go into that game playing their game, and they were just going to grind them into dust and win some type of ugly game, 3-2 or 2-1 or so. It was the opposite. They came into that game completely, I don't know, sleepwalking? They did not have a shot from a forward after one period? Like, that's just not normal. And that's what killed my confidence, is how they could go out there and play such a bad first period in game six after playing so well at the end of game five. And look, it's been talked about a million times over, and I want to get your take on this before we just move on here and talk about tonight. The offside call, the disallowed goal, Carter Verhaeghe. Yeah, I understand. Okay, by the letter of the law, yeah, sure. Okay, you want to play, I don't know, you know, some half-assed detective and say, yeah, but, you know, that skate is clearly over. That's not what the rule says. The rule says even the shadow of the skate could be touching the blue line. That replay was so inconclusive. Once they called it a goal on the ice, how the fuck are you going to fucking disallow that goal in a Stanley Cup final, in a consequential game? I think that disallowed goal just completely buried the Panthers. Letter of the law, that goal should have stood, period. End of story. And we should have had a tight game down the stretch in that game against the Oilers to close them out in game six.
It's one of those that I would say, like, speaking objectively, I think you keep whatever call was made on the ice. And the fact that they took a goal off, because that's the part I disagree with. I'm not saying it's not close. I'm not saying it could have gone either way. I'm saying it went a certain way, and they decided that was enough evidence to take a goal off the board, which is, you know, the most impactful thing you can do in a game. It changes everything. It changes momentum. It changes, you know, whether or not you go to an empty net, you know, at what point you go to an empty net. It just changes everything. And if anyone could have used the confidence boost, it's Carter Verhaeghe right now, who has been a man on a milk carton this entire series. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I am this hockey expert. I grew up in South Florida. There was no frozen pond around for me to skate around. There was the Kendall Ice Arena, and that's about the most of my experience putting on skates. But I will say that it just seems to me like if Edmonton's, I don't know if they figured something out, but Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Reinhart are not getting into their usual spots. They're not getting comfortable, particularly on the power play, especially Verhaeghe. And Verhaeghe, I mean, you know, Reinhart, you know, not being able to get an open shot, that's one thing. But with Verhaeghe, it's even worse because the man is a turnover machine whenever the puck is anywhere near him. He's making awful passes to Ghost. He's treating the puck look like it's a bar of wet soap when it's around him. He has no control on it on his stick.
And he's the only guy that double teams the puck with somebody else, and we lose possession.
How does that happen?
I don't know, because usually when you watch a game, for those of you that are new to the sport, you always want to have two on one.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
American Giant makes great clothing, T-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hockey is a numbers game. If you have two players to their one, you usually win. And I'm talking about usually win like 99% of the time, okay? So you want to be first to the puck. When you dump it behind them, you want to be first to the puck, and then you want to be second to the puck. You want to get two guys to the puck. And if they get the second guy to the puck, you want to get the third guy to the puck. You want to double-team the puck and then get it out of there. With Carter Verhaeghe, it's the only guy on this team that gets their third to double-team the puck, and we somehow lose possession. And, of course, when you double-team the puck and you lose possession, what's behind you? You play with five guys, people. Okay? If you have two double-teaming the puck and you lose possession, the numbers say that it's now 4-on-3 the other way. Okay? So, and that's been a problem also. They're letting these guys carry the puck into the offensive zone way too easily. It used to be that we used to have a wall right at the blue line, and nobody could penetrate that wall. You couldn't. You had to dump it behind us and then hope for the best and a carom to try to get the puck on the stick. But carry it in, I understand if Connor McDavid does it, but it's likely everybody carrying the puck in on us these last few games. And that's going to have to change. We're going to talk now about going forward, what they have to do. Look, the vibes can't be any worse, Scuba. There's the confidence is gone. The only confidence you could gain from this is that it's game 7 and it's at home. That's it. The only confidence I can give is I still believe they're the better team. Remember, overall for the season, it's still 5-3, okay, Panthers. The Panthers are the better team because we've seen their best game. The Oilers, can't handle their best game. Can't handle the Panthers' best game. The thing is, when the hell are the Panthers going to get to their best game? Because they haven't so far. You know?
Well, what is it? What is it, right? Because, like, you know, you can say that, again, we dominated them in those first three games. And clearly, we were playing their game. And clearly, you know, something was off with them because they did not look like how they had looked the entirety of the season. You know, granted, like, you know, you can say that they weren't the strongest team coming in and all that, but I'm, you know, postseason, they've been a really good team. They've got an unbelievable offense, power play, penalty kill. They pretty much do it all. They can certainly skate. We know that. But you know, I have to give, their coach some credit here. I mean, I do think that they've mucked up something. Again, particularly with Verhaeghe and Reinhart, who just could not, for the life of them, fight for a spot on the ice or fight for their spots on the ice. And not only that, but, you know, you got to also keep in mind that, you know, it's not being talked about a lot, I think. But Bob, in the past three games, has been awful.
Yeah,
I mean, not just, you know, not just not great, not just not at a god level, elite level like he looked like in game one, but just plain bad. And so the only thing that gives me any, you know, hope is that it is one game scenario. Anything can happen. You know, you have home ice, you know, it counts for something. Cause you know, if you get on a two goal lead early on, that crowd might, you know, will get into it and might never shut up. And that's going to get into the Oilers' heads. So there are some good things, but I just don't know if the Panthers are going to find their game. And that's the scary part, is that yes, if they get back to doing what they were doing, you know, not letting guys, just swarming defense. Let's start there. The thing that this team has been priding itself on all year, defense, looks like garbage now. And, you know, Forsling for the most part has been all right, but Ekblad is just not defending up the par. It's really everybody. And I'm sure that's part of what's going on with Bob, but also like his percentage is below 80 in the past three games. That is nowhere near his standard. So, yeah. You know, there's fear there that they maybe have figured something out and we don't know what it is yet. And in that case, it would be very scary. But again, it's a one game scenario. Let's say, you know, if Edmonton has an off game and we play all right, we're the champions, you know, vice versa. They're the champions. So really that's all it is. It's anything can happen. Throw everything else out the window. Doesn't matter about the 15 games you've won in this postseason, all the games you've won in the regular season. None of that matters now. It all comes down to one.
Yeah. Now I will say this, okay? Like you're wondering what have been the adjustments. Chris Knobloch has done something very simple, okay? First of all, they are 44 for 45, okay? They've missed one. 44 for 45 on their last 45 penalty kills. Okay, that's insane. Now, what have they done against the Panthers? They actually made an adjustment on their penalty kill, okay? Not that they were, you know, getting killed on the penalty kill early on in the series, but they decided to make an adjustment. They're choking off the point, meaning they're sending a defenseman up high. And what are the Panthers doing? They're still trying these cross-ice passes, and those are the first of all, it's helping their penalty kill, but not only that, it's opening you up for breakaway shorthanded goals. So how do you defeat that? Keep dumping it in. Keep grinding it out down low, okay? Keep trying to get that puck down in front of the goal. Forget about firing shots in from the point against this team. It just doesn't work. They've decided to take that away. And that basically renders Montour absolutely useless. And they've made some changes now. And they made in Game 6 as well, but putting Erik Larsson in the penalty, the number one power play, and Montour has been busted down. Verhaeghe's been busted down to power play 2. Tarasenko's moved up. Now, how do you combat this? Well, you got to get back to the stats that favor your team. Okay, hits. You got to win that. You got to win the hits number. At least I wouldn't say 2-1, but you got to have a decided advantage. And look, shots on goal, I don't think that they're that important. I think shots are. Okay? You can't go an entire period with your forwards not having a shot. Not even a shot on goal. A shot. Like, what the hell are they doing out there? Like, why do you have forwards? You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm bringing on another OnlyFinner, Malgin and Tonic. Your thoughts on this all-important game tonight? Before we get out of here, by the way, because we're approaching 22 minutes.
Yeah, I think the vibes are not the best. So it just comes down to make a good play. Don't make a perfect play. Build through the game. Don't make any mistakes. All of Edmonton's goals have happened off of turnovers in the neutral zone or near their own blue line. And then they get a rush and then they score. So eliminate that out of the game. And then you want to get pucks to the net and traffic to the net, right? Skinner's strength is his size, and he challenges shooters. So you want to be shooting from unpredictable areas, kind of like how they did against Vasilevsky in round one. And, you know, shoot when he's back in his net, create some puck retrieval opportunities, get the puck again, and sling it to the net. And otherwise, just you got to maintain some puck possession to insulate the defenseman and just play better neutral zone structure to not give them rush opportunities and that's what they have to focus on, are the small details.
Yeah.
And on dump-ins, dump it into the corner softly so Skinner can't play it.
Yeah, that, well, although every time that Skinner comes out to play it behind the net, I actually get a little excited. He's given up 2 goals back there doing that. So he's not the greatest stick handler. But I will say this about Stuart Skinner. I've expected him to give up a bunch of rebounds in this series and then have us, you know, diving to the net. He hasn't given up any rebounds. They're going to need something like that. I think that, man, tonight, it's going to be, I hate to be the guy to do this because then that puts unrealistic expectations on the game. Panthers need to score first because if they score first, that'll build their confidence. If they go down 1-0 in the first period in this game, it's going to deflate that whole building and deflate the team. I really do believe that. They're going to need a goal, any way you could get it. If it could carry them off of an elbow, that's one thing that happened with against the Panthers in Game 5. Everything was carrying off of elbows, helmets, knees, and going in our net. Maybe we get some puck luck, finally. But they're going to need it. I think they need to go up 1-0 to start this game tonight to have a chance. If not, I think it's just, it's what we've expected and the vibes around this place. They're just going to come true. It's not going to happen for us tonight. But they do need some puck luck. All right. What happens tonight? We're going to get out of here right now so people could download this and listen to it before the game. Scuba, what happens tonight? Are we hoisting the Stanley Cup?
4-3, Cats.
Okay. Are they going to sweat it out, or is it going to be 4-3 because they score a goal in overtime to win it?
No overtime, but Edmonton's going to score, and Edmonton's going to pull their goalie, score, and make us sweat it out that final minute.
Okay. All right. Maligan and Tonic, what do you think about tonight? What happens?
I want to say 3-2 Cats.
Okay. They win it in overtime, or they just
No, they win
on?
In regulation.
Okay. What's gone on so far? I don't think you want my prediction. My prediction would be that they would lose 3-2 somehow. But they'll play their best game. Look, if I've been following this team religiously for this latest build, which includes Matthew Tkachuk these last 2 years. I love that team that won the President's Trophy, but they just were not ready to win a Stanley Cup, or much less even win playoff series against tough physical teams. I've watched this team for 2 years religiously, okay? I was actually shocked that that team, I felt like, my God, maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did about this team when they barely made the playoffs. They made the playoffs with a game to spare. So they were realistically a 2-game losing streak at the end of the season last year of missing the playoffs. But when they got in, I was like, you know what? They got a shot against Boston. I don't care how good Boston is. They got a shot. And when they fell behind 3-1, I was thinking, okay, maybe I was wrong. They come, they rush back, they win that series, and they've become that team ever since. Their game is good enough. This is the best hockey team the Panthers have ever had. This one, right now. This particular team is playing Game 7. If it doesn't happen tonight, I don't know when the hell it's going to happen. And Stanley Cup is a funny thing. It's one of those things that you might not see it again. Okay? This whole generation of players, Barkov, Tkachuk, you know, definitely Bob. Bob is not for long around here. But Tkachuk and Barkov are younger stars. Like, that whole generation could be long gone before you see it again. It's a difficult trophy to win. They have the opportunity now. They're at home. If they're not going to do it, I don't know when they're going to do it. Confidence is not high, but you have the game at home and you have the team. That's what's important. Okay? This is not about having faith. There's certain realities here. You have the team and you're at home. They have no reason to lose tonight. None. They should play their game, and their game is good enough to beat the Edmonton Oilers. All right. We will still do our regular OnlyFans show this week, but that's going to be it for our special OnlyFans pregame, Panther pregame. Of course, listen to all our guys. Listen to The Fifth Line and the Five Reasons Sports Network. And of course, Alex Baumgartner. Go follow him at his Twitter account. He does a fabulous job for Five Reasons Sports. All right, that's it. There's no more. Hopefully, we are celebrating a Stanley Cup final win tomorrow. But till then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.